And good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio, Aaron Fulton and Brennan Carter from Sitka National Historical Park. Welcome to Morning Edition, folks.
Good Thanks. Morning.
Well, there's a lot going on at the park, as well as the Rushen Bishop's House this spring and summer. So we're going to start going down the list. Aaron, I'm going to start with you talking about the interpretive programs. There are some changes happening over at the Rushen Bishop's House.
Yes. So as we all know, this is the sesquicentennial year of the Treaty of Session, and we are the only park in the park system that is charged with the duty of sharing the story of Russian colonialism in North America. So we are going to be doing some extra fun things at the Rushen Bishop's House to highlight that. One big change is that the fee that we had for the last, who knows how many years, the $4 fee to go on a ranger program to see the second restored residence of the Bishop's House, that fee no longer exists. So if that's been something holding people back from exploring the second floor with a ranger, you no longer have an excuse. You can go in and check all of the amazing history out in that building. We're also going to be having more frequent Russian-American history downtown walking tours during the week. We'll be having a lot of more informal interpretive programs. So you'll see rangers out in front of the Bishop's House, either in their flat hats or in historical costume, playing games. You can learn how to use an abacus and do different historic games. We'll be having tea services during the week. A lot more action going on at the Bishop's House.
Well, are folks excited about that?
I'm personally really excited. Historic costume is really fun. I mean, the ranger uniform is pretty great, but it is kind of fun to get into character and just kind of make that history be a little closer to reality for people. Just let them immerse a little bit more.
Now, what's happening down the road at the Sitka National Historical Park in terms of interpretive programs?
Again, sesquicentennial year. One of the most obvious things that is present at the Visitor Center is we have a art exhibit called Voices of Change, which is going to be up now through November. It is highlighting the many different artists who submitted artworks reflecting on how the Treaty of Session affected Alaska Native peoples. And that's going to be, like I said, in the Visitor Center all through November. And it'll also be along the Totem Trail Loop, along the Indian River side. And another exciting thing that we just started getting rolling with this last week, just to hop back to the Bishop's House, is the park, it's really exciting. We were granted money to update all of the exhibits within the Rushen Bishop's House. So we'll be starting a multi-year process of exploring more about the Russian American history that maybe hasn't been highlighted as much as we wanted to, or just exploring new aspects. So that whole first floor is going to be redone. So also your chance to get in and see it how it's been, because it's going to be changing in the next couple of years.
Well, that's very exciting. And then there are still going to be the regular programs over at Totem Park during the
spring, we'll
summer.
Still have Totem Talks, and we'll still have programs about salmon, about sea otters, about myriad different topics as the summer progresses. As we'll still have our demonstrating artists coming in to work in our cultural center studios. We'll have some things happening with, as Brennan will talk about, with some different logistic changes within the park, but still lots of fun things happening.
Great. Thank you so much, Aaron. Well, Brennan, we're going to turn to you now and talk about the many projects that are beginning to get underway down at the park. Let's start with the footbridge over Indian River. What's happening with that?
Okay, so the footbridge has been in place now for about 50 years, and we did a study of it back in 2012 and noticed that there were beginning to be some structural problems with the current bridge. And of course, I'm 50 years old and I've got structural problems, so everybody, I think, can understand that. And we put in for a project to replace the bridge, basically, we're going to have a bridge there that will look very similar to the current bridge, but it'll be slightly wider, about 7 feet wide on the deck, and it'll have glue lam beams much like the current bridge. I think the critical thing for people to know who are visiting Sitka is that for a period between about May 8th and August 15th, the area around that bridge will be closed so that the contractor can do the replacement. about May 8th, we'll have that area cordoned off so that the contractor has exclusive use of the area. On May 15th, he's going to start, he's going to start his in-water work, which is the part of the project where he'll be replacing the piers that are currently in the water with stronger piers to hold the new bridge. And then on July 15th, he has to be out of the water because of the returning salmon. So for the last month from July 15th to August 15th, that site will still be closed, but he'll be completing his work on either side of the river on the abutments and doing the finish work on the bridge. So the takeaway is from May 8th to August 15th, people will have to reroute their traffic around that bridge so that the contractor can do his work.
You may have to change your morning walks or runs, but the end result will be a wider bridge, fewer traffic jams.
Yes, absolutely. It'll make a big difference in the summer season when we've got lots of people using it.
All right. And then there's another big project happening around the battle site of 1804 and the view to the water.
We also put in for some funding to implement. We have a cultural landscape report, which is kind of a fancy way of saying how we should take care of the landscape in the Totem Unit. We had that cultural landscape report from 1999, and the preferred recommendation from that landscape report was to reestablish visual connectedness between the fort site and the water. And the cultural landscape architects who are working on it suggested doing an open but a filtered view to the water so that you could actually, if you were a visitor in the park, you could stand at the fort site and look out and actually see Sitka Sound in the area, the little sound out there beyond Cannon Island. And to implement that, what we're gradually doing is taking out some of the underbrush there so that you can actually see the water, and making it so that you have a filtered view from the fort site. The other thing that's really important to recognize is that when the Alaska Lumber and Pulp Mill was in operation, many, many mill logs sort of got loose from rafts and floated around in Sitka Sound, and many of them ended up on that battle site. So when you go down there now, it looks like a big jumble of logs. And we really don't want to, the mill was a great thing and it should have some commemoration somewhere else, but it's not really central to the story of the Battle of 1804 or the interpretation of the fort site. So we want to get those logs out of the battle site now.
Well, the landscape in the early 1800s was far different than it is now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So if you look at the aerial photographs as far back as we have them, which is about 1929, that whole area was completely open. It started off as an intertidal flat during the battle and all the way through the 1800s. And then gradually, because the land is rising all around southeast, but it's rising also at the mouth of the Indian River, that land has come up somewhat. All those logs washed up from 1958 to 1993, and it's gradually taken what used to be an intertidal flat and then a coastal meadow and converted it into an alder, mixed alder forest, which is completely different than the way it looked, the open character that it had even 35 or 40 years ago. So
the hope is to get the experience of standing there just a little bit closer to what it might have been like.
Yes,
around
yeah,
1804.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'll be really exciting. The interpretive staff is really excited for that because it'll bring people that much closer to actually being there to really understand the importance of that site.
Right. Well, what do you think that kind of restoration work might also do to the local ecology, to the plants and the animals, to succession? What do you anticipate?
Well, fortunately, we have quite a bit of expertise in the Park Service on exotic invasives, all sorts of successional things that can happen to environments through succession and trying to restore landscapes. So initially, where we only want to do the filtered views and maintain the canopy so that we don't have a lot of big ecological changes in the understory of that area. Eventually, what we'd like to do is restore it to a much more open character, but we really haven't done the types of ecological studies you need to do and put the landscape transition plans in place to be able to effectively do that without having things go crazy, you know. In Southeast, with all the rain, things really change quickly. So
right. Well, you know, there's a lot more to talk about. We're running out of time. There is something about a log, though, that should probably be addressed.
Oh, yeah. So one of the things, we had a large hemlock come down upstream of the pedestrian bridge earlier this year. And that tree is about 3.5 or 4 feet in diameter. And it was longer than the width of the piers on the pedestrian bridge. So that's a big problem, because that tree, if it comes downstream and gets caught crosswise on the piers, it could take the entire pedestrian bridge down, either the existing one or the new one. So Mike Trainer, my colleague at the park and chief of maintenance, has secured that tree on one side of the bank. So if we get a flooding episode, hopefully it'll swing to the side on the bank and not come down and take out the bridge. What we really want to do is have someone come in, either park crews or a contractor, and cut that tree into lengths that are handleable and get it out, because we're about to spend a lot of money to replace that bridge, and we want to protect that investment. We don't want to have it.
Just replace it once.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, we are definitely out of time. There's a lot more to talk about, so hopefully we can get you both in again soon to talk about the other projects that are
happening. Oh, yeah, it'd be great.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, people can always stop by the park. We have rangers who are always excited to talk to guests.
Great. Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, you're Lisa. Welcome. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Brennan Carter and Aaron Fulton, Sitka National Historical Park.